This really is that pivotal passage to understand God's work of grace in Jacob's life. But what a bizarre story, isn't it? Wrestling with God. God being involved with a wrestling match. And this is no dream or vision. Jacob walks away from this real wrestling match limping because his hip has been touched. This is a physical battle. We look back before God had walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the garden. God had had dinner with Abraham. And the angel of the Lord has appeared at many different times all through the history of God's people. Very real. We begin reading the context of this passage, verse 1 of Genesis 32. Jacob also went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is the camp of God." So he named that place Mahanaim. Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He instructed them, "This is what you're to say to my master Esau. Your servant Jacob says, 'I've been staying with Laban and have remained there till now. I have cattle and donkeys, sheep and goats, men servants and maid servants. Now I'm sending this message to my Lord, that I might find favor in your eyes.'" When the messengers returned to Jacob, they said, "We went to your brother Esau, and now he's coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." In great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and herds and camels as well. He thought, "If Esau comes and attacks one group, the group that is left, may escape." Then Jacob prayed. We don't have too many prayers of Jacob's. "O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, 'Go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two groups. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, 'I will surely make you prosper and make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted.'" He spent the night there, and from what he had with him, he selected a gift for his brother Esau: 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 female camels with their young, 40 cows and 10 bulls, and 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. He put them in the care of his servants and each herd by itself, and said to his servants, "Go ahead of me and keep some space between the herds." He instructed the one in the lead, "When my brother Esau meets you and asks, 'To whom do you belong and where are you going and who owns all these animals in front of you?' then you're to say, 'They belong to your servant Jacob. They are a gift sent to my Lord Esau, and he's coming behind us.'" He also instructed the second, the third, and all the others who followed the herds, "You are to say the same thing to Esau when you meet him. And be sure to say, 'Your servant Jacob is coming behind us.'" For he thought, "I will pacify him with these gifts I'm sending on ahead. Later when I see him, perhaps he will receive me." So Jacob's gifts went on ahead of him, but he himself spent the night in the camp. Now, before we read our passage for this morning, there are really three points that I want to just give very simply as we read through this passage for you to write down there in your mind. Those three points have the Lord as the subject and Jacob's the one being acted upon. And it's the Lord wrestles Jacob, the Lord touches Jacob, and the Lord blesses Jacob. Very simple. Let us hear God's word now. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. We have this passage before us, and we are summarizing it in that way of starting there, that the Lord wrestles Jacob. Now, the wrestler takes on Jake. Jacob certainly has lots on his mind. It's kind of jumps upon us. All that's taking place, he's ready to buy off his brother's anger and all the preparation that's going on. And I'm certain that there was something of Esau upon his thinking at every moment. And he's all by himself. He's found alone. Who knows how much aloneness he had had. But there is this moment that he's completely alone. Thinking back, remember how he had crossed this very area, leaving some 20 years before. He was 20 then, now he's 40. He left out as a fugitive with nothing much more than a shirt on his back, not knowing what was going to come upon him. 20 years of hard work. He has all this, animals and children, wives, and all these blessings from God. And yet, you wonder about those memories that he would have. What has he done with those promises? What has he seen of those promises that were made to his grandfather, Abraham? What about those promises to Isaac? How about those promises that have been made to him? He's now returning to that land that God had promised. He's now ready to cross over into that land, a very important time. Is there upon his mind, in his aloneness, something of how he had tricked his blind father to somehow or another get the blessing? Was there something upon his mind of how he had been deceitful all those different ways, and that dream he had had of the staircase into heaven, and God's promises to him, and all that was in his mind? And suddenly, it would seem like Laban and Esau were far away because there was one who was wrestling with him. There was this physical wrestling match that was taking place, something that was so real that he, I'm sure, had out of his mind suddenly the 10 times that Laban had changed his wages. All the trickery of Laban as a father-in-law, that suddenly it was Leah in the morning after his wedding night. All those different things that had taken place were far away suddenly. He's at that point in which he's involved in a wrestling match. It would seem, though, in a way, if you look back over Jacob's life, I wonder if we wouldn't ask the question, hasn't he been in a wrestling match all along with his own lies and deceit and with all of his trickery and all that his trying to somehow or another bring about God's blessing upon him? He's been wrestling with the Lord all along. The Lord grabs hold and wrestles Jacob. It's that tangible, real wrestling match that's taking place. Jacob being brought down. Jacob alone being wrestled to the ground. Just a couple comments on that wrestling match. If you've been in wrestling, if you've done any wrestling, one of the things you know about wrestling is you can't do it half-heartedly. It was something that demanded that total involvement. You can't really somehow or another wrestle from a distance, even 6 feet away. It's something you grab hold of and you're involved. You go to the ground with it, you're involved with wrestling. You can't be a spectator and be a wrestler. And also, one of the things as we read of this wrestling match, it has to do with tenacity. They wrestle through the night. When the dawn of the morning is coming, they're still wrestling. Now, it's a mysterious moment. Look at verse 25 again. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, and there's mystery here, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man, this mysterious opponent. Jacob's hip is put out of joint. Suddenly he's not in much of a condition to wrestle, but only to hang on to that one who's wrestling with him. And really, as you read through the passage, you have something of the identity of this mysterious one who is wrestling with Jacob is revealed. There's something of human limitations in this wrestler, and yet he has awesome power and dominion over Jacob with just a touch. It's really against the Lord that Jacob has been wrestling all along. Not Esau, not Laban. He's been wrestling all these years. God wrestles Jacob. And yet it says that Jacob prevails. But at the same time, God prevails. It says he touched him. The Lord touches Jacob. It's that great moment in the wrestling match when everything turns. The match is determined. The turning point of the whole wrestling match determined right there. And it's a turning point for Jacob in his life also. He touched Jake. He didn't hit him with a 2 before, but he touched him. In fact, the word that's used in the original language is the same word we have in Isaiah when it speaks of how the Lord, yes, cleanses Isaiah. There is taken from off the altar one of those red hot coals, and it touches the lips of Isaiah. It just touches his lips. And here in this wrestling match, it wasn't that somehow or another the wrestler crushed Jacob. No, but he just touches him and he puts him in such a way that he limps off. A serious crippling injury is but a touch by this one. Suddenly he realizes this is no ordinary man. He knew now that he's been face to face with God, as he calls this place Peniel, face to face with God. But I'd ask you just to notice about this touch that it is a gentle touch. It's not a crushing blow. God in His grace touches him gently. He's suddenly in God's hands. And it's also a humbling touch that He has into Jacob's life. Do we know what it is to be humbled by God, by His touching our lives, in whatever way it may be, with different things that come into our lives? God humbles us by just touching us. This is new for Jake. Jake is suddenly the one who's wrapped around the Lord, this wrestler, and he is the one that is described elsewhere in Hosea as weeping and begging. He is the one who cries out for God's blessing because he's weak and helpless. He's humbled. And it's good also for us to realize that it's a gracious touch by God. Turn in the New Testament to that familiar passage of 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul knew what it was to be touched graciously by God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Those familiar words in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, how Paul is kept from being conceited. Then we read verse 8. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take this thorn in the flesh away from me, verse 9, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." We read in Deuteronomy later, as Moses speaks, after, actually in a beautiful way, how the Lord's everlasting arms are underneath. The Lord in His strength is there, graciously caring and providing, as He had promised all along. We have that song that some of us used to sing rather loudly before we realized we couldn't sing well. Leaning on the everlasting arms. God's arms. Those arms that cared for Jacob all along. That faith that he had that was real in the Lord. When God touches us, we trust Him. There is a statement by Augustine in the 4th century when he says how God struck my heart, and I loved Him. It's when the Lord touches us in our lives that we come to love Him. And then I would ask, third, this morning, that you would look and see the Lord blesses Jacob. Verses 26 through 28, there before us, what a blessing we have that's given. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Now, all along, Jacob has been seeking the blessing of God. He did it by that trickery and that deceit with his father. His trickery in one sense, or trying to buy the blessing, the birthright from his father. brother Esau, or even to try to buy off the anger of Esau, to do it with gifts. Somehow or another, through all his workings, all his strivings, all his deceit and lies, he's been trying to have the blessing of God. Now he finds himself in this hopeless place where he's hanging on, weak, and the Lord brings his blessing to him. God changes his name. A new name is written. It's no longer Jacob the heel grabber, the deceitful one, the one who is trying to supplant his brother, but now it's the one that's named after God wrestling with him, the one who struggles with him. He's named Israel. It's interesting, some of the older translations had the meaning as being that of a prince of God. But as there's been that careful translation work and analysis, we know that it actually means one who struggles or fights with another. And here, where Jacob comes to be face to face with God, it is there that God has wrestled with him. God has come in human form, and he's come as a man of war. He has come and wrestled with and struggled and taken hold of Jacob with that tender touch. He made his almighty power known. He blessed him. The name points to God's transforming of Jacob's character. He is changed. Jacob overcomes by being broken and begging for God's blessing. The nation of Israel, of course, is given that very name, that God's blessing has come to them. We are the Israel of God in Jesus Christ, as Galatians 6:16 tells us. We are those who have all the blessings of God in Jesus Christ. We are those who overcome because of His great love that has come to us. The person who is blessing, he is the one who is the Lord Himself, who has come with humility and wrestled with Jacob, but who has that power, almighty power, and authority over Jacob to bless him. Jacob says, I have seen God face to face and lived. God is gracious to me. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And in Christ, we have that privilege to see Him and know Him. This morning, you may be here and ask, what does this story of such long ago times have to do with my life? Verse 31, it tells how one is really given such blessing. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. He was the one who could say, I was mastered by the Lord. I am no longer just Jake, but now I am Israel, the one the Lord has mastered, the one the Lord has struggled with, and He has caused me to prevail and have the blessing. Now, what are we to do? There is a sense in which we all here are to be involved in seeking God's blessing in Jesus Christ. There is an involvement that's complete and total. It's not something to be half-hearted. If you want the blessing of God in your life, you seek the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. You grab hold and beg for God's mercy and grace in Jesus Christ. And He grants that grace in Him. He touches us with grace. What took place in Jacob's life was that his self-confidence, his self-reliance, his very being was broken. He had relied on his own skill, his own craftiness, his own deceit. But then God touches him with his grace. And he's transformed. He's changed. We are those who are saved by God's grace through faith in Christ. Not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. If you're here this morning and you've never really come to put faith, your faith in Jesus Christ, you're lost. Join yourself to Him. Grab hold of Him by faith. And find His blessing right now. Don't wait for another time. We have here before us one who is now identified with the Lord. Jesus said, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." Because we've been touched by God's grace, we're not ashamed to stand with him. And then to know the blessing, God's blessing. A new day begins for Jacob. A new name is given to him, Israel. But he also has a limp. Every step he takes, he remembers that it's the Lord who wrestled with him. Jacob met for the first time one who could, no matter how hard he prevailed or how much he struggled, the Lord touched him. And had the dominance, overwhelmed him with his grace. Remember those words we read earlier, the Apostle Paul. "I will boast all the more gladly about my works, my triumphs, my strengths, my ingenuity, my tenacity." No. Paul says, "I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses." Why? "So that Christ's power may rest on me." My delight? My weaknesses, my insults, hardships, persecutions. For when I am weak, He is the one who makes me strong. When I am weak, His power is made known in my life. Very directly, I ask everyone here this morning, do you know the blessing of God in your life in Jesus Christ? Is that a reality that you know Him and enjoy Him? Have you been touched by Jesus Christ? Do you believe in Him? Do you know Him? Have you grabbed hold of Him? Are you knowing His blessing? He alone can give you that everlasting blessing. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that You would work in the hearts of all who are here this morning, even as we would sing this hymn, "O love of God, how strong and true. Eternal yet ever new, uncomprehended and unbought, beyond all knowledge and all thought." O Lord, that You would cause us to know how great was Your love for Jacob, even though he was full of himself. You were gracious to love him. And we thank You, Lord, for that same love You put upon us. O Lord, that we, in all of our sinfulness, Your grace is greater than all our sins. And that You've loved us with an everlasting love. A love that's not purchased by our gifts. A love that truly is gracious, unconditional, and everlasting. O Lord, we pray that You would open the hearts of even some who are here as young people this morning, O Lord, and as they have heard time after time from their parents and from others and from this pulpit that they are to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Lord, touch them. O Lord, strike their hearts that this very day they will love You with all their heart, mind, and soul. Be gracious to them. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.